Now we're podding. I was going to jump out this seat, but I'm connected. I'm locked in. And Marnie's going to fire me if I damage the equipment. Hear ye, hear ye, my people. Welcome to If I Rule the World. It's the podcast where I speak to young people at the Big House about what the world would look like if they were in charge. The Big House is an organization offering long-term support for care-affected people, young people who have experience with things like social care, criminal justice system, housing authorities, or maybe something challenging or any kind of circumstance that have happened in their life. So this week, we are speaking to...
Sade.
We're talking to Sade. Welcome, Sade. Welcome to the podcast, If I Rule the World.
Thank you, thank you.
My name is X, but... I'm not going to say you can call me your holiness, but you can definitely call me the emperor if that feels right. Damn. And I am the guy that is in charge right now. And I'll be deciding if my guests are qualified to reign over this world.
Okay. So you choose.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions on how you plan to switch things up. And depending on your answers or any of my guests' answers, I'll decide generously. I knew we should have had you on. I knew you was the right fit for this. You might get the job.
I can talk.
Generously, I'll bestow them the divine right to rule. Yeah. Okay. And find out if they still actually want to bear the crown. So without further ado, welcome to If I Rule the World. Introduce yourself. Like, who are you? What do you do?
So I am a writer. Mm-hmm. I'm a poet.
Vibes.
I'm a performer. I'm an artist. So I draw and I paint.
Mm.
And just an all-round creative, anything.
You're like a super creative.
Yeah, essentially.
Because I can only do so many things, but like when it comes to drawing, it's straight stick men. You know what I mean? I wanted to do something. It just never happened. Mad. Okay, yeah. Okay. Vibe. Right. First things first then. Welcome to the interview. What makes you a suitable candidate for this role to rule the world?
I feel like this job means, you know, you have to be able to connect with a wide variety of people from all walks of life. And I feel like I can kind of do that. A bit better than people who are only qualified to connect with a certain group of people, and those are the people that are running things.
Yeah.
And it's not obviously working.
This is a big job, you know. This is actually like a serious this is the world, not like your world, the world. You know what I mean? So because it's a big job, you're gonna need some help. Yeah,
that's right.
Who would you recruit on your cabinet or in your team and help you run the show?
More of the overlooked people in society.
Why?
Because the people who are already on top, as much as they might do their little bit to help people, I don't know, greed's real, isn't it? Like, if you're on top, you're sorting out you, and then whoever comes after is a delayed effect.
Mm.
And you're always going to do what's right for you before anybody else, isn't it? But I feel like the overlooked people, they've kind of had enough of that. And so they'd want to... not necessarily shun those that are on top, but bring up the people from the bottom. And the people at the bottom are the ones that are suffering. They do the most for this world, you know. They do the most in terms of labour.
Mm-hmm.
They do the most in terms of, like, educating other people. They got the most love to give. That's where the community's at. And so those are the people, that community vibe is what we need to bring out more of.
Mm.
We can't get that from the people that are higher up because they don't necessarily have it.
What guarantees that those people that are so used to being overlooked are going to work as a team once they get into a position of power?
The people would change. It wouldn't be like a this is your job for life kind of thing. It's like, cool, you can have your input, and then when you've given enough, somebody else will take over. So that it's not just...
Oh, this is like seasonal, like you just...
Yeah, not quite seasonal, maybe like annual, maybe like every couple of years, there's a bit of a change. Just because when given the opportunity, any one person in a position for too long, there's always that temptation to abuse the power.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that temptation to abuse power, then kind of eliminates the problem a little bit.
I hear it. Yeah. So it's like you're going to do a lot of hiring and firing.
Yeah.
What if they just get tired of you hiring and firing everyone? They decide to take you out. Now we're podding. I was going to jump out this seat, but I'm connected. I'm locked in. And Marnie's going to fire me if I damage the equipment. Right. So we know how you're going to hire this team and why you're going to hire them. You're all set up.
Yeah.
So it's time to celebrate. So let's talk about your coronation. Where is it? Who's coming? Obviously me. What are you going to be wearing? Who's not allowed to come?
The people already in power can stay at home.
Okay.
They can stay at home.
Everyone in the House of Commons is not invited. They're at the House of Commons.
They can chill. They can have their own party somewhere. It'll be their last party.
Hey, they was partying. They was partying during lockdown.
They're rude for that. That's exactly why they could stay at home.
And they didn't even shout the man them. They didn't even let us know.
Tables have turned.
The man them was getting bagged. People were going to jail for having parties. But these guys were living it up like it was a Ja Rule video.
The abuse of power is insane. They're just a bit too...
All right, so what are we feasting?
I'll probably have to start off with some yard food.
Okay.
But...
Feels biased, but go on.
That's why I said start off. Start off. Start off.
How do you pronounce it? Is it plantain or is it planted?
It's definitely plantain.
Get out. You can leave.
No, thank you. I'm comfortable.
All right, cool. So we're starting off with some plantain. And then... we're starting off with some Caribbean food, yeah?
Yeah.
Specifically some Jamaican food.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll branch out and because everyone's invited, you have to have food to cater to everyone. So there'll be a bit of everything there. But I'd only be able to be cooked by like non-commercial people.
Okay.
Because the way that people commercialize food just kind of takes the culture out of it a bit.
I mean, since we're both comfortable, we listen and we don't judge. I think Turtle Bay's food is amazing. We're judging. I can feel it. I feel there's a lot
I'm not judging.
It feels
I'm
like there's
judging.
Judgment.
I've been there once.
Yeah.
And I never went back. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
All right, cool. So it's time to pick a national anthem. What is it?
I don't know. The first thing that comes to my head was a Bob Marley, like a lovely kind of melody. You know, everyone come and love kind of vibe.
So it's not gigs talking to artists. No, because you're from South, I swear.
I am from South. I wouldn't say that's our... That's rude.
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm not going to lie. Like, when I was around a lot of South youths, they said that's the national anthem. It's gigs talking hard. And I am not fighting them on it because I think it's the best song in the world.
I think it's not a bad song. I like the song, but I don't feel like it gives what I'm trying to give, you know? I'm trying to spread peace and love.
Yes, okay. And so it's Bob Marley.
Talking the hardest might get people a bit too riled up.
Remember when he was banned from performing live? That was crazy.
No,
shout out gigs, man. Shout out the landlord. All right, time to get to work. So you've got all the money in the world, yeah?
Yeah.
What's the first thing that you're going to do with it?
I would revalue money.
Oh.
You know how, yeah, in London, I don't know if it still is the case, but like the pound coin is worth more than any other place.
Mm.
Yeah, I changed that. To like all money kind of equates to the same kind of thing. So we have like one currency.
You want a one currency?
A one currency,
world.
Yeah. You see how in central London, yeah, you make the most amount of money in like the UK or whatever. Mm. So everyone's trying to get to the middle of London.
Yeah.
Not the outside of London, the middle of London.
Mm.
And that's why London's so overpopulated.
Yeah.
But if it's one currency and everybody's making like a similar amount, like in the middle of the country and outside of the country, then the overpopulation is not too much of an issue because no one's trying to get to the money because the money's everywhere.
You're on fire. You are on fire. You are actually on fire. All right, cool. So you've got all the money in the world.
Yeah.
You're making it all one currency.
Yeah.
And then what? Is that it? Is that like you're just going to even out the...
I'd even it out and I'd probably give a bit more to the people that do the more dangerous jobs.
Okay, like what?
Like I don't know, like the construction workers that can, you know, their hand can get chopped off because they're building someone's house kind of vibe. Mm. I feel like the people that do the hardest work probably get paid the least, like, you know, minimum wage. And I feel like those are the people that are struggling more. So I'd probably like raise their wages a bit to make the work more worthwhile. I don't know, right now, like, think about the benefit system and stuff like that, yeah? Nobody wants to work because it's not worth it. A lot of people get more on benefits than they ever would working. So it's like, what's the point? But if they're doing the harder jobs and, you know, it's worthwhile, they're getting what they're, what, like, you know, what they're worth, they're getting their due, then why not work?
What is a law that you're going to introduce?
I would probably make any crime, anything that happens to kind of traumatise or involves a child, I'd probably make that like some of the most punishable crimes that there is. Kids need to be protected, man.
Facts.
They need to be protected. And I feel like a lot of people forget that. And so a lot of people grow up with so much trauma because they weren't protected as a kid. And they have the furthest time to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, they're a kid. So they're like young and they've got the rest of their lives with that on their chest.
What inspired that law?
Probably having kids.
Yeah.
Probably having kids. Like, and being in this world, kind of seeing the news, seeing people growing up in South, all those things there, like it gives so much trust issues. So I don't trust the world with my kids. I couldn't trust the world with my kids. And it's because other than me, no one's going to protect them.
That's so crazy. I was literally like speaking to someone last night on the phone about PTSD.
Yeah.
I was like, the first stabbing I ever saw, I was like 12, 13
years old. That's wild.
Like right in front of me. Like I just got stabbed in the neck at a house party. Nah. It was mad. But I was going to say, then how do you prepare those children for the world that you know and recognize?
I don't know. It's hard. At the same time, seeing a stabbing at 12 doesn't prepare you for the world. It prepares you for the worst of the world. But at the same time, how are you going to trust anything else in the world when that's what you come from? Like, how can you trust that there's good in people when that's in the back of your mind every night? Like, I don't know. The world's a scary place. And I guess if I ruled it, I just want to make it a bit of a less scarier place.
When I first witnessed that, this is so weird that we're having this conversation now, because I was literally speaking about this at 2 a.m. yesterday.
That's wild.
Because I was speaking to someone about PTSD. And I was saying that when I first witnessed it, I wasn't like scared. Really dark. It was really dark what happened to my guy, innit? But that's what happened. But it also, something changed in my mind where I became a lot more aware and a lot more diligent when I went to social settings. Because I was thinking to myself, not like in fear, but just awareness. Like at any point, at any time, something could happen to someone where someone could die.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. And I feel like that 100% has to be taught, not just in teens, but as kids, that has to be taught. Like you can't, as much as you want the world to be the safest place in the world, you can't make no guarantees. So whether there's no crime or there is crime, you still got to prepare your kids for the better and for the worse. You have to kind of almost set them up with the toolbox to deal with when things go wrong or when things get rough and scary. You have to give them that toolbox.
All right, so what would you put on the school curriculum?
An emotional regulation class. Like, not like therapy or counselling, like, you have those sessions for people that obviously need it, but like a mandatory emotional regulation class for everybody. Because too many of us get to adulthood and we don't know how to regulate our emotions.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guilty of that myself. So then when things do go wrong or things don't go our way or we're in a down part, we don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
We don't. But if you had that kind of toolbox from younger, then it wouldn't be the end of the world like it is now. So I'd add a way to teach kids from young and throughout school, like how to handle life.
What age would you probably introduce that?
I have to do that with my 5-year-old now. So I'd probably do that from as soon as they enter school. Emotional regulation is something that you never stop learning. Even as adults, you're still learning because different things happen at different ages. Like emotional regulation for a 5-year-old is, it could be as simple as, your friend has that toy and I know you want it, but you cannot have it. Here are the tools to deal with that situation.
Oh, would there be like exams or?
No, it wouldn't be like an exam thing because how, like, you know, everyone matures and grows at different rates. That's, I feel like emotional is very hard to assess, especially in children, because every child matures at a different yeah, a very different pace. I'd also have to introduce a lot more life skills.
Like what?
Like budgeting, managing finances, like your personal finances, cleaning.
Ooh.
Like
big one.
Cleaning.
Big one. Like, yes.
I don't know. Like personal hygiene. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago about this. Like from time I was in school, I didn't like school. And I used to argue with the teachers, my parents. I used to argue with the educational welfare officer. I said, yeah, school's not teaching me what I need to know. Right now, in this moment, it's not teaching me the things that I need to know in life.
Mm.
Like, I'm 15 and I'm doing algebra, but I don't know how to cook myself a meal.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit techie. So I feel like I would incorporate a whole leap of things. And not everybody has the parents to teach them. That's the issue. Like, a lot of things that fall on the parents to teach kids, but when kids don't have parents, who's teaching them? So they reach adulthood and they just don't have the skills.
Did you guys not have, like, food tech in your school?
Yeah, we did. But what's half an hour a day to learn? Half an hour a week, yeah. Sorry.
They only gave you 30 minutes.
About 30, maybe 30 minutes to an hour a week.
Damn.
How much do you learn? And that's only from, like, we learned what? How to cook commercialized spaghetti bolognese and apple tartlets. Like, what's that doing for me?
My girl said commercialized. That is crazy.
No, it is. It's a topic that suits everybody. Like,
yeah.
No seasoning, like, nothing. Like, what? What is that teaching me?
I hear it. Is there, like, a specific meal you think every child at school should be able to make?
No, I don't know. I feel like they should cater.
I think everyone should be able to fry plantain.
Plantain.
All right, cool. What would you abolish?
Abolish?
Yeah.
I love to say, like, I'd abolish the systems as we knew it and set them up differently.
Mm.
Like, for example, the prison system or the social care, the children's social care system.
Mm.
Like, I'd love to just take them away, strip them down, and rebuild them into something completely different.
What did you have in mind?
I'd probably make the social care system a lot less procedure focused.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously it would have its procedures, but it'd have to be better integrated so that children don't know it has its procedures.
Okay.
As a teen with like a social worker and me being aware that I'm just sit here answering your question to tick boxes, that vexed me.
Yeah.
And it didn't do nothing to better my life.
Yeah.
It protected them from lawsuits and it protected them from their managers, their jobs. But what did that do to me as a traumatized kid? How did that show that you cared for me?
Yeah.
How did that improve my life? And then with the like prison system and things, I don't know, like especially in like UK, maybe America kind of vibes, like this whole idea that they rehabilitate and then send you back out to better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it's real. I don't feel like it happens like that. So I'd probably have to find a way to deliver better programs, more prevention focused before you get to the prison system.
Okay.
And then while you're in there, it would be probably more like, for example, upon entering those kind of systems, there'd be like a mandatory like mental health assessment, for example, because a lot of unchecked mental health kind of lands people in situations and they're like, they need help, but then nobody knows they need help. And again, we're going to put more effort into reforming and helping and making sure that the circumstances that led up to what happened isn't just naturally their result when they come out.
I rate that, you know, because you also spoke about like emotional regulation being introduced to school systems. So I can see like, it's not like it's going to happen overnight, but like, in like probably like a couple decades or, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Or in several decades, like there's going to be a very different atmosphere in society because everyone's had emotional regulation classes
exactly
for like the first 18 years of their life.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, mental health being checked for. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Yeah. I can see it. You're cold at this.
I try.
How would you manage global conflict?
That one's tricky. Because you have to find a way to respect different cultures and give people kind of cultural independence.
Mm.
At the same time, there should be more of a mediation. I feel like I'd abolish the concept of war, burn wars. Why are other men fighting your battles? That doesn't make sense to me.
Mm.
So I feel like if two politicians, two grown adults, which is what they are. Two grown adults have issues.
Mm-hmm.
Them two grown adults have to resolve those issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, why is the whole world fighting? Because two grown men can't agree.
We saying, so, like, just put them in the back playground and make them scrap it out.
That's an idea. That's an idea. But no, I feel like mediation, innit? Like, you know, there should be, like, an organisation maybe that comes in to mediate. Kind of like a much better version of the UN.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't come to a peaceful resolution, then on to the next. Like, new people will be elected.
Mm.
Like, that's fine. There's more than just you guys that can do this job. So on to the next. Like, the whole idea of war. Like, I get in the sense of, like, you know, sometimes the army has to go in and help a country. Like, I get that. But if there's no guns, that kind of limits catastrophes.
But then we're going back to caveman stuff, and now we're rolling around with spears and arrows. I need to win this.
Yeah, I know. I get that, yeah. But at the same time, like I said, I'd abolish the concept of war in it. So it won't just be like, you know, cavemen, both sides fighting with spears and swords,
because
war wouldn't exist. There would be no king, no government that can just be like, yeah, everybody get your stuff together. We're going to fight. You know, there won't be, you know, kids roped in and all those shenanigans. Like, that wouldn't happen because war wouldn't exist. It was just used two men in a room with maybe a group of other people, and it's going to be resolved there.
What if those, like, those two leaders, those two men, or it could be two women, you never know. Like, what if those two leaders share this idea? They just so happen to represent the idea that their whole society has. So it's not them individually, but it's a whole society that they live in their country or in their world or in their area, and they all share this idea. So it's not just one individual, and there's another country or another place, another area that shares a completely different identity, and they have malicious intent towards each other. Like, they genuinely don't like each other because they don't share the same ideas.
Then people can move. No, you don't have to...
How are you going to move a whole country?
Essentially, there's going to be places where people share your beliefs somewhere.
Mm.
I don't know. I just feel like you don't have to agree to coexist. No one's asking you to be friends. No one's asking you to, you know, all buddy-buddy up. Like, you don't even have to trade.
Okay, let's say then, we're neighbours. We are neighbours. We are right next door to each other. But I'm a plantain believer and you're a plantain believer.
So we just won't talk about plantain. We just won't have that discussion.
Now, all my plantain believers are trying to tell me, listen, we need to take out Sade because she's influencing the wrong kind of people here. She's got everyone saying plantain and it sounds foolish and it's getting ridiculous. But then you have to
really ask, like, how does that affect your current lifestyle? How does that impact your life?
Okay, but then what if one day your five-year-old comes home and says, Mummy, can I have some plantain? You're going to lose it.
I'm not going to lose it because I had emotional regulation when I was a kid. So I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to say, honey, we don't do that here.
But what if they fight you against it and say, actually, I have the right to believe this then is how you fine. Pronounce
if
it.
If that's how you feel like that's how you pronounce it, that's cool. You'll pronounce it your way. I'll pronounce it my way.
Are you kicking them out?
No, I'm not going to kick them out.
What if then they say, like, Mummy, I'm moving into the plantains?
Are you...
you're going to want a war with me. You're going to want to take me
I'm not going to want a war with you because at the same time, kids are easily influenced, isn't it? And as a parent, you have to understand that.
Is that considered a crime if I, like, have them pronounced?
It should be. I'm joking. I'm joking. No, I feel like, if anything, it's more of a prank.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know. It's like, cool. As a parent, obviously, I want what's best for my kids. And so I'll try and educate them the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, soon enough, your kid's going to be grown and out the house and living life the way that they want to live life. You can't control what they do in their adulthood.
It's true.
You can't.
It's true.
So all I can do is give them the best tools possible until they reach a chance where they can and do have their own opinions and lifestyles.
So what are you going to do then with the rate, like, with the rise of AI?
I'd get rid of all of it. No, I wouldn't. AI is scary because it's kind of, you know, confirming that iRobot scenario.
Ooh, I'm telling you, like, scary.
Are robots actually going to take over the world?
Yeah.
So I feel like I'd have to probably slap an age range on it. I'd have to, you know, make people put out disclaimers. Because you know these AI images and these AI videos and everyone's like, is this real or is it not? That is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'd have to put on a lot of regulations and limit it.
Yeah.
But it's already here, so I can't just get rid of it. I'd have to find a way to integrate it properly into society and make mal-use punishable.
I think it's good because like you're adapting, you're being flexible.
You have to adapt. Yeah, I feel like you have to sometimes take a step back to step forward.
Bigger picture.
Yeah.
Better direction.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. All right. So you've got control of Mars too. What are you going to do with it?
I'll send the worst kind of people there. There was a movie that I watched there and that was just like a criminal free-for-all playground. I would do
what
that.
What movie was this?
I can't remember what it's called. I can't remember, but the worst of the worst was there.
Is this like an old film?
No, probably not that. I don't even know. I can't remember. But essentially, there was another planet and there was just some really bad people living there. And nobody wanted to go to that planet because, you know, all the worst people were there. I would let those serial offenders, those people that do the harshest of crimes, the worst of crimes, I would send them all up there to go do as they please to each other.
Yeah. Okay. But then how are they going to survive there? Are you sending them food and stuff?
Well, yeah, there'll be food and stuff. But how they manage it, you know, you guys thought you was too good for this earth. So let's see how you deal with.
All right, cool. So do you still want this responsibility? Do you still want to be like ruler of the world?
I don't know. It's a lot of work, isn't it? It's a lot of work. I feel like, yeah, I'd love to see this kind of world come to be. I'd love to kind of see what it could be, if that makes sense. Maybe there'd be a movie about it one day.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't. It's a lot of work. I like peace.
Well, that concludes my chat with Sade. Thanks for listening to If I Rule the World. If you like this episode, please follow us. The podcast was created and produced by Marnie Duke for The Big House. See you next time. Yeah.